Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Hey, welcome one and all to the FSHD Society Radio Show. I'm your host, Tim, and if you want to get in touch with me, you can do that via email, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org, or right here on the Facebook live chat room if you're listening to this live event. I have a great guest in store for you. That's right, guests. We have two guys waiting on the line now, so don't want to have them wait too long. But I just wanted to give you some contact information because you might want to be sending your questions our way, because we have Bill Herzberg, who is an FSHD patient, working with trainer Mitch Wade. They've been featured on Mondays on our Sequester webinar series, and they've been targeting physical fitness, getting active, and Mitch has come up with amazing workout plans that Bill has taken advantage of and has actually seen his muscles getting stronger, more mobility, and we're here to share that positive story with them. So without further ado, here is Bill and Mitch.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And I know this is a little bit of a different platform than you're used to. Like you said, it's not something new. You've been doing the workouts, video, obviously, so people can see the workouts. I know that Mitch has been sharing, I believe, what, your Instagram workouts. I think it's on Instagram. Is that right, Mitch, normally?
It is. Yes, you are correct. So we do it out of Ramp Fitness. That is my gym that I own in Portland, Oregon. So Bill and I have been working together for about 4 years, and then we came up with a little bit of a conversation that led us to the sense of contacting some people to get us involved with this. So we've been doing that for about, I think we have 5 different episodes that we've done on every Monday at 12 noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, so depending on where you're at. But yes, what we do there is pretty much, we just put together a little scroll of videos and clips of exercises that Bill and I have been working on. And it has been an extreme success for people, that are interested and, wanting to know more. It's been great for Bill and I as well, just kind of keeping the ball rolling between, the two of us. It is a lifelong adventure, and that's what we want to paint right away. This is a big thing. It's hard. Bill is, he's pretty much turned into Superman. The guy just achieved something just last week that we, did not really see in the end of the tunnel necessarily. And he did it. He's going to tell you right now that he was super sore, but I'm very proud of him that he did it. It's accomplishing some really big things. So, Bill, I'm going to let you kind of take over with that instead.
I've been trying to build, in addition to the fitness and strengthening and balance exercises that Mitch and I have been doing, I'm trying to work on my aerobic and endurance. And I use a recumbent tricycle, and I've been tackling a local steep hill. And just last week, I was able to go up and down it twice, which I'm very proud of.
Very nice.
The plan is to do it again tomorrow. Hopefully, I won't be sore for 2 days.
And that tell me about those plans. That's great.
I'm really pleased that I can do it. Really pleased I can do that.
Yeah, because that is a huge accomplishment, Bill. If we all are trying to straighten the voices out, those that are listening, Mitch Wade is the trainer, like you mentioned, out of Ramp Fitness. And then Bill Herzberg, you are the FSHD muscle rebuilding training hero here, I think, in our eyes. Bill, tell us.
Yeah, and I go around in Lycra and spandex suits with an H for Herzberg instead of the S.
Nice.
But otherwise, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know otherwise, right?
Now, I'm mild mannered.
He's not joking.
You gotta market that shirt,
Bill. there's many of us that are very proud of Bill, you know, beyond just himself. I mean, it's, you know, it has been, we want to paint that picture as well of, you know, it has been a big journey. You know, we've had a lot of fun. We built a relationship much past just the exercise in the gym, which is just wonderful for both of us. But we have put some, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into this whole process too. You know, some things don't work. Some things we need to change. Some things, you know, just need a small adjustment. Some might need a bigger adjustment. And it really is just about trying to, you know, improve the quality of life. You know, a small little focus for the week might be what we need. Some weeks we might be better rested, you know, better with nutrition and stuff too. And we can press a little harder. Every day, every week is a new time. You know, we need to adjust to that within our program. But yes, there's many, many of us that have, you know, been so pleased to see Bill going in this direction. You know, and, you know, as he jokes, of course, it's really real, you know, the sense of being able to do some things, whether it's around the house of chores wise or helping out, or, you know, I just heard from his wife a couple of days ago of a small example here that really just, you know, touched home of the sense of being able to pass, you know, something at the dinner table. So as he's sitting with his family and having the ability of having some good family bonding time, you know, even though it's over food necessarily, you know, being able to interact and do normal things are just huge. It's really, really beneficial for him and his, you know, positive kind of attitude going forward with it too.
Oh, I am so, grateful. I'm so grateful. Mitch, since I've been working with Mitch, I can now bring food to my mouth without having to brace against the table.
Wow.
I can bring a cup, you know, with one hand instead of two, and it's less precarious. And this has been uplifting. So it's not just the mechanical, can I do this routine or this little exercise? It makes me hopeful about achieving other little milestones. And at this stage of the game, I'm 57. You kind of hope to maintain, but when you not only maintain but make progress, that's very encouraging.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Mitch.
That's great, Bill. That's great, man.
Now, Bill, how long ago did you get diagnosed with FSHD?
I was a teenager, 17 years old when I was diagnosed with FSH. In retrospect, I had features of it. Facial weakness. I couldn't close my eyes and completely in sleep. I couldn't whistle when I was young. I had some weird scapular winging on old photographs in my preteen years. But when I was unable to do the butterfly stroke because of that shoulder abduction movement, I brought it to attention of my doc, and he there were some hit and misses, and but finally I was seen by a neurologist, and then I was diagnosed with FSH.
So at
now I do want to paint this real quickly. Sorry to interrupt here.
No,
you know, for everybody else as well with the hip or the arm abduction. You know, Bill forgets that he's also extremely intelligent in the medical world, so. A shoulder abduction is bringing the arm out to the side or lifting it upwards, rather. Yeah. So, you know, something that does seem to be relatively simple for the most part, you know, but yet it becomes a big struggle there, too. So, you know, the things that Bill and I have done and some of the achievements that he has, it's just, you know, some small exercises have gone a long ways and some big things as well. But that is what he's referring to, though.
And now, Bill, you're an expert in your own right here, or you know, with the medical terminology. Mitch is, sounds like, as well, also an expert in this. And you've been a trainer for how long now, Mitch?
You know, I'm pushing on, I probably want to say about maybe 14 or 15 years, probably something like that. It's been really fun. You know, it's been an awesome experience. I do have a relatively large background in just athletics growing up, you know, and unfortunately, I actually kind of came across some really bad pain myself in my lower right back Coming from kind of a multi-directional background of sports and athletics, I hurt myself doing something called CrossFit. So CrossFit is actually where I started. That is where I started teaching people and kind of connecting the dots between the muscles and the bones and how they need the support. And, you know, we have about 206 bones-ish and about 610 plus muscles. So, you know, every once in a while we kind of come up with a new fiber, a new muscle. So I don't want to stay specific on the numbers. But, you know, that's a lot to control there. So that really interested me. I became, you know, it was fun. It was fun to kind of suggest to certain people of, hey, why don't you try this and this and this, you know, to try to take away a knee pain or hip pain. And at that point, when I was young and, you know, the money was harder to come around, my gym offered me to work there for free, but to work out there for free as well. So that is when I first kind of started jumping into the idea there. And then, you know, slowly but surely things started rolling in that direction. And then I met some really, really, really wonderful people. And that is what guided me into the direction of not just loving what I do, but loving the people that I work with too. And that really makes it to the point where I have some kind of positive reinforcement everywhere to go home and maybe study, you know, study and talk about and read about, you know, things that I'm not aware of. You know, the learning process of the human body and, well, a lot of things for sure, but the human body is ongoing. You know, I mean, I'm going to continue learning. I'm hoping for the rest of my life. Things change. Everybody is different, you know, and that's something that's very important to remember as well, is that when we talk about Bill specifically and some of the exercises that worked for him, they might not work exactly for you. You might need to change something a small bit. And that's where you got to find the professional that you can build a communication board with, where you can make some quick adjustments if needed.
Yeah. If I didn't find someone like Mitch who was willing to, first of all, read about FSH and read some articles I brought to him about exercise with FSH, I don't think I would have had, you know, a fraction of the success that I've had.
Now,
it's important to find someone who's willing to learn about this relatively uncommon condition.
Yeah, Bill, you had a nice segue there, if you believe it or not, because that was going to be my next question. It's kind of how did then your paths come together? And then it sounds like you maybe sent Mitch on a little bit of a quest of tackling this with you and making some massive headways. So, but where did those roads come together?
Well, for a number of years, I actually worked as a physician, a neurologist, and did training in neuromuscular diseases, a fellowship. And the guy who I did my fellowship training with wrote an article that's maybe 30 years old now, which talked about the harm that exercise can do in FSH for muscles that are relatively weak. So I continued to bike using my legs after my arms got weak, but I avoided exercising my arms to the point where I was losing range of motion and I had disuse, weakness, forget about ongoing progression of the dystrophy. But then when new research came out showing that exercise was beneficial, I cautiously dipped my toe back into the water, and I wanted a trainer to read about the exercise, know my fears about potentially harming myself by doing exercise, and someone who would take it slowly. And I went through a bunch of people, but only Mitch was willing to learn. And that open-mindedness, and I think it takes a certain amount of confidence, and this might sound paradoxical, but humility to learn is really important in any professional consultant. And he has
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. No, very well said, Bill. Very well said.
So, Mitch.
Yeah. Go ahead, please.
Well, I just wanted to ask: is that, you know, then it sounds like, Mitch, that you didn't know about FSHD prior to this? I would think, right?
Honestly, I had zero knowledge on it. Zero.
Wow.
So it was a fun adventure for myself. You know, I mean, I enjoyed, you know, kind of challenging myself in the sense of, where I knew nothing about it, that for myself, that gives me a little bit of encouragement. I'm a little bit different in that era, which is just fine. But, you know, there are other people out there that also want to do the same thing. And I can tell you that with confidence, because throughout this 5 weeks, I've already been contacted by other trainers, as well as other people that are, you know, affected by this. But the trainers themselves are not affected by this, and they're either are just experiencing somebody that either they have as an FSHD client or FSH client, excuse me, or, you know, they're wanting to learn about it or, you know, do what I'm doing with people and try to make a difference. So there are people out there. You just need to search. You need to find somebody that you trust. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, Bill and I, we enjoy each other's company too. So that helps, you know, building a friendship beyond just the sense of them being the person that kind of kicks your butt, you know, that it really helps too. Bill does enjoy, I think, you might need to ask Bill.
We'll talk about this later, man.
Yeah, awkward.
Mitch really enjoys my company. Let's leave it at that.
I do enjoy his company. So he is correct.
No, it's mutual. It's mutual. Yeah.
It makes the ball roll in the right direction. We have some communication parts that we both understand. I have been very straightforward with Bill of saying, I need to know, I want to know. Tell me when this is a struggle. Tell me when this is an emotional struggle too. You know, when we talk about the physical process, there's a lot of mental process that goes into exercise.
Right.
You have to, it's a lot easier. Let's just put it this way. It's a lot easier to not do it than do it. I know that sounds simple, but trust me, it's very easy after maybe a long day to say, I'm a little tired. I'm just going to skip it today. And then maybe today ends up next week and then the next month and then maybe a little bit longer after that. So developing a plan is key. Okay. You know, having a workout partner or a trainer, if we can do so, a physical therapist, a physiotherapist, anything like that, where the person is one willing to dive in maybe a little deeper, because this is a new topic to a lot of people. They need to dive in a little deeper and see what they can find and then correlate it to the person's individual life. You know, Bill had a couple of goals. I knew the goals. He knew the goal, you know, and that's what we were working on. Small goals, big goals, you know, small term or the short term, long term. It's all relevant. You have to have those plans and those successes lined up for you to stay, you know, motivated as well. Intrinsic motivation, meaning your inner self motivation, is very important in this whole process.
Wow. We're talking to Bill Herzberg and Mitch Wade, FSHD Society people. You all know them on Mondays that they're exercising for you and getting those workout videos out for you to keep you moving, not just this sequester or quarantine time, but forever, right? As long as you need it, it seems like they're giving us amazing tools to keep our bodies going, and that's who we're talking to today. You can put your questions out there, if you have any so far, on the Facebook message board. I can see you all there, so thanks for joining us. What was that first day? And I can throw this question out to both of you, but what was the first, you know, couple visits or sessions like? It sounds like, you know, maybe you were creating a plan or getting to know each other, but how did some of that play out in the beginning?
I was fearful.
That's a great question, Bill. I'm going to let you start.
Yeah, I was fearful that Mitch was not going to, you know, dig in and read about this condition.
Okay.
And B, not only did I have a lot of self-consciousness about my appearance in a gym where everyone is fit and young and all this, but was I going to hurt myself by overusing muscles that were weak? Mm-hmm. And was I actually going to be harming myself? That was my initial worry, was fear. Mm-hmm. And then I that switched after a few sessions to, come on already. I want to progress more quickly. And Mitch was very methodical and was more concerned about doing an exercise correctly than about registering, you know, changes in weight resistance, for instance.
Right.
Form was very much more important to Mitch than any number that I was able to push against or lift. And then I sort of adopted that mindset and became easier to develop that kind of habit.
Yeah.
Do you want
to? I pretty much want to. I want to second quite a few of those things. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you said that really well. You know, the one of the biggest things, and this is going to pertain to whether I'm training someone with FSH, you know, D there, or just, you know, anybody else. It doesn't matter who I'm training. Explaining the why behind the what is key. You know, when we do things, and as I tell you, you know, on this podcast, or the Facebook Live, you know, I need you to do this a lot and for the rest of your life. And you're kind of sitting back there probably going, well, okay, I can, but why? When we understand the why behind the reasoning of, you know, of what we're doing, it really, really does help. It helps us with encouragement and motivation to, you know, have some long-term goals, like I said. But then also when I say those things to Bill, you know, when we're doing a movement, he knows what joints and muscles are involved. And it's not just because Bill is genius. It's because also we talk about it. Bill is very gifted. So yes, I will give you that part. It might take a little bit more research and understanding or time, but understanding the process as to why you're doing it is really, really key. You know, so for an easy example, you know, if we're working on the biceps, I don't really want you to start flailing the weight. I want you to know that when the bicep is being pulled or the elbow is bending and the hand is coming up to the shoulder, we're working that muscle. And I know that one might seem relatively simple as people are a little bit more connected to their biceps than maybe a small muscle in the hip. But we're going to have exercises for the small muscles in the hip too. So I want him to have an understanding as to why we're doing all those things, and that is key. So to go back to a little bit more of the original question as to how our first, you know, session went, I'm gonna be completely honest. I was nervous. I was super nervous. It was new for me. You know, I didn't know where I was gonna go. You know, it was represented to me as to, you know, some of the issues that Bill, you know, chatted with my manager about before he was handed off to me. So yeah, I went home, I researched on it. You know, the learning process of this, there's so much research out nowadays where for the most part, I mean, you can find out about almost anything, whether it's changing a wheel on a car or helping someone with a disease. There's so many years of research nowadays that it's just fantastic. And in our front hands with that thing called Google, you know, it's great. But then being able to filter through Google, you know, and there's a lot of different information, some things that might work for one person and maybe might work, you know, differently for another. So mm-hmm. I'm not saying any approach is wrong. I think any movement is better than no movement. But yes, you know, moving well and then moving often is key. So when Bill says about me being specific and kind of, you know, a little bit picky rather as to how some of the exercises look, it is important. We're not just in there to flail the body around. We're in there to learn. We're in there to move well and move often. And if we can do those three things and then learn in the process, that is us becoming more and more connected to our own body and being able to then address certain issues or concerns on your own as well. You know, there's always professionals out there. I will always use this analogy to anybody. I don't know. I don't like electricity. I'm always going to call an electrician. So, you know, there are certain points where, you know, referencing out or reaching out or doing some research and asking somebody else is not a bad thing at all. So please, you know, I mean, I'm not sure if this connection specifically will have our emails available, but I do know our emails are available through the Monday webinar that we do. Then Mitch Wade, PDX, MITCHWADEPDX is my Instagram tag. So you can send messages on there. Those also have references to our 5 videos that we have posted so far, and we have a few more coming. And, you know, it's good information. It's a little bit, you know, we're trying to touch base on all the questions that we're getting and stuff, but I think we're doing a pretty good job of giving you some good leads and starts. as to where to go. And, you know, rather with simple equipment, you don't need to be in the gym.
Right.
I remember early on, Mitch, when you started training, and I was pleased that I wasn't sore or weaker after the sessions, but I was frustrated that I wasn't seeing improvement in it. And it took a while, and you saw improvement before I did, or you were able to pull it. And then I was saying, well, it couldn't be my biceps. It's got to be my brachial radialis. But you convinced me. You knew enough to isolate one muscle group from another and said, no, it's really coming from these muscles. And you proved it to me. And that, and the same sort of reasoning, I am actually strengthening the triceps, which I thought was irretrievably weak, or the lower abdominals, which I thought were irretrievably weak, or my posture is straighter. My shoulders are not as hunched forward since we've been doing these shoulder stretching exercises. It's incremental, but it's real, and it requires effort. I think there's a lot of I can speak for myself as an FSH patient that it would be really nice if the R&D people finally came up with something that I could take by mouth or inject and be done with this. But this an exercise regimen can create some of the changes that we're hoping pills and injections can do. It just requires much more effort on the part of the patient.
What absolutely. Go ahead, please.
Well, I didn't want you to.
I'll step in. Sorry, I want to touch base on a couple of things here. Because Bill, that was such a great answer, and it really is kind of putting into a little bit more perspective of some of the emotional feeling that we can have with, you know, the frustrations of this idea here. You know, how long did it take for you to kind of feel success in that? As you said, you know, it was more so me kind of telling you this. You know, how long did it take for you to kind of be a little bit more confirmed there?
Well, it took me a few weeks before I was convinced I wasn't getting hurt. And I don't know, a couple of months or more before I was really convinced that I was not just wasting my time.
And why?
Because it takes time, and it's, And there's an expense and an inconvenience, but when you see a result and you can quantify an improvement and you can see progress over time that's sustained and frankly accelerating, that is very encouraging. I don't need external prompts now to want to continue with Mitch. I mean, I want to go, and I want to do it even when Mitch is not overseeing me. I really am convinced, having been a pretty skeptical person, that this is helping me. And I want to keep the improvement happening, and I want to pick up the pace of the improvement.
So that's absolutely kind of go ahead.
It's a positive feedback loop. It's a wonderful feedback loop.
Would you say there was any exercises that we did that kind of, I mean, I do have kind of a point to, you know, me asking you these specific questions here. There was a point where we started using a little bit of something called it's called neuromuscular work, neuromuscular facilitation. And so when you palpate a muscle, Bill can feel it. So we did this with the bicep specifically, where we would do same bicep curls, and I would sit there and just poke at his bicep.
Right.
And his brain feels me poking at his bicep, and I'm just going to keep doing it. And then I'm going to be a little bit annoying, and I'm going to say, do you feel that? And he's like, yes. And then when he would do a bicep curl and I would continue poking it, he would have contraction in that muscle. And contraction means squeezing. It's working. It's getting blood fill. It's getting, you know, it's working to move the joint. And that was a humongous difference. As soon as he
mind
felt
you, this
that,
is a muscle that I thought was completely dead.
Yeah.
This is a muscle that was completely wasted. I had no effective biceps. I had brachioradialis movement, which can move across the elbow joint.
Okay.
But I was not able, in my I had no evidence for biceps contracture. And over time, Mitch was able to help me generate that.
Wow.
And now I'm able to generate it against resistance, not just against gravity, and I'm able to easily do 10-pound bicep curls, and I'm hoping over time, this is not so critical, but I'm hoping to increase that over time. Hmm.
There is a question on Facebook that I think is you're kind of going right in line with what you guys are talking about, and this is a question for Bill. It's from Ann Williams. She's asking, how was Bill's mobility when he started? Well, I guess it's a question for both of you, I guess from a professional trainer point of view and Bill.
Totally. Totally. Bill, go ahead and start, my man.
I had, I was disabled from my medical practice because my arms were so weak that I couldn't bring them up to my face. It was hard to move my medical bag around. I was able to walk, but I had and still have a lot of dorsiflexion weakness. My balance was poor. Mm-hmm. I was not able to ride a regular two-wheel bike because my triceps were so weak that if I slammed on the brakes, I went over the handlebars on two occasions before I decided I can't ride a regular bike anymore. And had to switch over to a different sort of bike. Mm. So I was limited in those ways.
Bill, I want you to share this story that you shared with me the one time, and I know I bring this up to you probably too much, but it was definitely a milestone that really, I left work super excited. Let's just say that. So when you came in, you told me something about something that occurs on your knees quite a bit and your elbows quite a bit from falling. What was kind of the experience you had with that?
Well, I was getting lots of falls, and I've always had scabs on my knees and ripping up pants. And then after working on balance and strengthening my legs and recovering from falls, I've gone a long time without any bruises, bumps, wow, scrapes on my knees. I mean, that's a big deal. Yeah. It's a big deal.
You had told me that specifically when we were working still at, I had worked at first a big corporate gym. And that is where Bill and I met, and he came in event like at one time and had just told me, he said, hey, my last scab kind of just healed and I haven't had a fall for long enough that I don't have another scab. Mm-hmm. And that stuck with me. That motivated the hell out of myself. I loved it. It was another, the reason I do my job is not just for, creating an income for myself and my family, but it's also to, really assist and help and improve the quality of life of somebody else. And something like that is a enormous improvement.
It was a big deal. It was a big, big deal for me. In fact, when I mean, you can avoid scabs in your knees by becoming immobile, staying in a chair or staying in bed.
Right.
But I was able to prevent injury to my knees while being more active than I had been before. And that's due to the exercise regimen that I was doing with Mitch.
Yeah, great reference there. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of almost like a choice, get up and move or stay stagnant. I guess you're safe if you just stay put, but I think you're going to cause other problems if you're not staying in motion to whatever that means to you. Now, here's a question I thought of as I was, looking through your guys', videos and paying attention to, each week when you've been on. Since FSHD, it kind of is different in so many people. It affects people differently so much. Does that then imply that the workouts are going to have to be tweaked or possibly a little different?
I am not. I'm completely convinced that everyone is going to need a kind of customized workout.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're all starting from different places.
I would second that.
Okay.
They're all kind of, there's a lot of asymmetry in the disease and different rates of progression, and mm-hmm. people want to have different goals. I mean, walking is a good one without falling, but I have another goal, which is to, you know, reach the, get to the coast by bicycle, you know, in a day. And that's a long haul from the town of Canby, Oregon, which is where I want to start, to the coast. It's 70 plus miles over a coastal mountain range. I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the training that I'm going to do with Mitch is going to be different than someone who has a different goal in mind.
Right. What would...
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, I mean...
I'm going to put a little...
Yeah.
Sorry, I think we're a little bit delayed. I think that's why we keep intersecting here. I want to very quickly put a little second note on that, just so it doesn't become as a discouraged, you know, comment necessarily. And right. I love that Bill is, you know, it's honest, it's straight to the point, absolutely. Everybody does vary a tad bit. There are a lot of very, you know, common patterns that you'll find. There's a lot of very similar moves that I can do with everyone. It's just more so of sometimes certain areas are more affected than others. Certain areas are not maybe capable like Bill had when I first met him. You know, when you talked about posture, when Bill walked in, he was very kyphotic, which means he was very rounded in the upper shoulders area. His chest and his shoulders were very close to each other. I have had numerous times now where I have looked out of my gym and seen him walking up my driveway and didn't even realize that it was Bill. So, you know, yes, there are certain things there. There are certain things that are going to be specific to certain people, but there also are similar patterns. You'll find similar things with everybody that we can all work on. And that is whether it's including FSHD or anybody and everybody of working there, you know, we all have primary movers. Primary movers mean bigger muscles that control more of our movement patterns. And then we have things called stabilizers. Stabilizers are smaller muscles. As I said earlier, 610 plus muscles. Obviously, not all of them are primary movers. So we need to have different approaches, different ideas. When Bill has a different goal, you know, 4 years later, we're now talking about riding to the coast. If Bill would have said that to me 4 years ago, I mean, I would have encouraged it. I love the idea, but there's no way that would have been one of our goals.
Mm-hmm.
Bill has progressed so far that now, yes, we can venture Bill into that area. Does everybody start having a goal that is extreme like that? I would highly encourage not to. Success is huge. Success is huge, whether it's like psychologically of achieving your goal. You know, we don't always want to fail. Fail is not a bad thing. Failure sometimes set up for better success, but we also need to succeed. We need to feel ourselves get to our point. And then that's when it's encouraging to make new goals and new end ranges for us to try to meet.
How about soreness? You know, we talked about that. You know, Bill, I'm sure you experience that normally anyhow, like most of us do that have this. But how do you push through and deciphering, like, okay, this is soreness, part of the disease, this is how it works. It's just soreness from working out. I think our body wants to stop. Maybe you agree with that, Mitch, and kind of, you know, recover, or, oh, this hurts, I don't want to do that. How do we stay moving through that?
Bill, I want to start with you again on this one, my man. Give a little bit more personal feedback of how you feel sometimes after our workouts and per se the doing the Piddock Mansion twice last week.
Well, I want to say that I was very fearful starting out with Mitch 4 years ago, and I did not want to jeopardize the little bit of function I had in my arms. I thought I was taking on a risk, even though this, you know, the research was suggesting that exercise was useful. So I dipped my toe in it, and then I tested, and I didn't overwork the muscles. And even now, if I'm hurting, we try to think about, well, what exactly is the cause of the pain? And sometimes it's bad form, or sometimes it may be overuse, or sometimes it's a stabilizing muscle that's tender, or sometimes the Mitch has a massage gun called Hypervolt. It's a brand name for a massage gun. I bought one for myself. I use it to relieving some muscle discomfort. When I first had muscle discomfort, and it would sometimes precede muscle wasting, and I was very fearful of the muscle discomfort. Now I've learned that not all muscle discomfort is to be feared. Some of it is okay after exercise, and I think people need to figure that out on their own, but it shouldn't be absolutely don't do any exercise if there's any discomfort. I think you need to be a little bit more, take on a little bit more risk than that, but you have to listen to your body, and you have to develop confidence that you're not hurting yourself before you develop confidence that you're helping yourself. You can't be a weekend warrior. I don't think you can start from being sedentary for many years and then suddenly saying, I'm going to go gung-ho and do everything in one day. That's just not going to work.
Yeah. No, well said there. You know, it's really about having that plan. Again, you know, the plans are key. You know, when to make the decision as to whether your body is too sore. Every day is a new day, you know. So just because the program says, you know, X, Y, and Z, I need you to also listen to your body. So let's just give an example here and say, I'm going to see Bill tomorrow. And this is an actual real situation. I'm going to see Bill tomorrow at 10 a.m. And if he walked in the door and said, man, Mitch, I didn't sleep a single hour. I was up all night playing video games. I did this and this and that. The last thing I'm going to do is try to push his heart into an uncomfortable range because his sleep was not, you know, adequate. There's a couple probably other things that are probably not very adequate to his performance level. So we always need to remember that you need to adjust to what your style or what your life is giving you at the moment. We'll step away from like a video game. Let's say something like, you know, a little bit more stressful, you know, a family emergency happens. I don't expect you to just push through because a family emergency happened and, you know, beat yourself up the next day because it's on your program.
Yeah.
I need you to listen to your body. If your body needs rest, rest. So when we do that, and when we become sore is usually from an exercise output or yard work or whatever else. And so, you know, if we're doing yard, let's just put this in another example for you. If you're doing yard work for, let's say, maybe a 30 minute time span, and then the next day you're like, wow, I'm really sore. Well, you know, your threshold is your body weight doing it for 30 minutes and you got sore. So within our exercises and our programs, and remember, I need to reemphasize this. This is a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
This is not for 3 months. This is not for 2 weeks. This is not for 2 days. You know, there's a lot of very good numbers when it comes to the New Year's resolution people for big corporate gyms. Mm-hmm. Trust me, it's a real thing. It is a real thing because they make the money aspect on it because people have the idea for a couple of weeks.
Right.
We need to create this forever. This is a WD-40 list. This is something that you do all the time that makes your body feel better and move better. And when you do that, you know, Judy is Bill's wife. Sorry if I, you know, gave too much information there. She is a wonderful lady. She exercises very intensely. It's fun. And so what I tell her sometimes is sometimes we need to take a break. Sometimes we got to recover as well. Sometimes we got to do this, you know, and certain people and personalities and certain like lifestyles have to have a small adjustment. Recovery is huge. When we are not working out, we're actually growing. We're growing our muscle tissue. We're rebuilding our muscle tissue. And that is your nervous system doing that, you know? And so good nourishment, good sleep is very, very important. Bill is a neurologist, so I can absolutely hand this off to him about sleep patterns. But, you know, in general, we need to have a lot of different factors playing along with us to progress in just life in general.
All right, final question.
Oh, man.
Final question for you guys. For those that are listening, and I know I'm going to kind of, you know, play the listener. I can hear maybe some of them going, man, where do I start this? I mean, this seems like insurmountable. What a mountain to climb. How am I supposed to even begin to push my body or even use it? What advice do you have for those listening? A motivational advice, I suppose, that they can get started.
Absolutely. Well, Bill, I might take this one first and then I'm going to let you go. I'm going to start very simple here and then let you roll with the ball there. You know, don't shoot for the stars. Keep it simple. Have a little bit of an idea here. I'm going to put an idea here for somebody that I was talking to earlier. She had some knee pain. Okay. So within the knee pain, we want to do something that actually fixes it, and then we can correlate the fix to the effect of what we're feeling. If we do too much too soon, you don't correlate too much. Does that make sense? If there's 30 exercises that you do and your body feels good, you don't really know the effect from the specific exercise. So if we are not moving very much right now, I would start very simple, maybe one or two times. See what the feedback is. Listen to your body's feedback. Do you get sore? Does it hurt? Is it way too sore where you can hardly move the next day? Maybe you need to take a step back. So listen to your body's response and feedback. And that is a great way to kind of have a little bit more of that progression going forward to know how much to do and when to do. Bill, go ahead.
I agree with what you said, and I would add by people who are daunted by the large task that it's hard to establish habits, but after you've passed a critical number of repeated days doing something, the habits become self-reinforcing, and this is true not just of exercise, but any habits, mm-hmm. and this has to be, as Mitch has said before, a lifestyle change and incorporate it with other things that are good for your health, good nutrition and sleep and alternating muscles and listening to overuse and mm-hmm. and not ignoring symptoms from the body, but addressing them and making adjustments. It's not a matter of here's a bunch of exercises, check off the box, do it mindlessly. You have to really do it in an intentional fashion that is responsive to what's going on.
Now, before I let you guys,
yeah, Bill, perfect, man. That's awesome.
That was. I mean, you guys had great answers there because it is, I think, also a motivational factor. I like how, you know, it sounds like consistency, you know, builds that success. We had one more question and I didn't want to let it go before I let you guys go. That's coming from the chat room on Facebook.
No problem.
This one is for Bill again, specifically. This is Ann Williams. She's really typing in the questions for us. She says, can Bill discuss his recumbent trike?
Oh, yes. I'm very fond of it.
I agree.
Take it easy, Bill.
So a tricycle is obviously three-wheeled bike. It has two wheels in the front and one wheel in the back.
Okay.
The seat is kind of low, so it requires some effort to get out of a low seat for people with dystrophy, but there are easier ones that you can, that if you had difficulty getting in a low seat, you can use. Mine has the ability to be taken into pieces and it's foldable, so you can take it on a car or even on a airplane for trips abroad.
Wow.
It's a mobility assistance device, so the airlines don't charge you for moving it if you have the appropriate note from your doc. It's wonderful.
Nice.
And it's in Portland, we have a terrific bike scene, and there is a bike store that specializes in recumbent bicycles and tricycles, recumbentpdx.com, but there's a bunch of great brands and regional stores, and I'd be happy to talk to people about recumbent triking offline.
Yeah.
If you make my phone number or internet available.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, guys, for being here today. Glad you could spend the time
Absolutely.
With us. We also appreciate those weekly fitness webinars that you've been performing. You can see them still, guys, on Mondays, all the way till June 22nd. It's getting like 1,200 engagements on Facebook per episode. That's just awesome. So thank you for that as well.
Thank you.
Hey, we love to hear that. That's fantastic. We can, yeah, exactly. The opportunity is awesome. It's, you know, like I said earlier, learning is a big part of, you know, my success there too. So it's, we've had a wonderful opportunity here and we thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Take care, guys. Thanks again.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Absolutely. Have a good night. Bye.
So that is our superstars of fitness, Bill Herzberg and Mitch Wade. Mitch Wade is the trainer side of the duo, and Bill has FSHD and has made amazing progress, it sounds, with Mitch. They work out at Ramp Fitness in Portland, Oregon. I really suggest you follow Mitch Wade on Instagram. He's got a lot of those videos out of what he's doing, you know, with Bill, getting his body moving, doing things to help him out. The progress is amazing, which is why their weekly fitness webinars have been so successful here on the FSHD Society, and we really thank them for their time. It's just really encouraging. I know it is really tough for me to get motivated, to get going. And I think I said it on the last show, like it's that little jingle song on the kids, you know, Frosty the Snowman seasonal show or whatever they put on, where the old man's going, put one foot in front of the other and soon you'll be walking out the door. It's really what it takes. You just have to decide this is going to be better. There's going to be a positive ending to this workout, and listen to the body was key. What I heard from Mitch and Bill, communicate, have a plan with the person that you're going to partner with. A partner is important. I think one to motivate you and one to help you, and have goals, and goals that are simple. That can also be a motivation. Don't make this huge mountainous goal in the beginning. Start taking small goals, and that'll lead to small steps moving forward. And before you know it, you're walking out the door, right? That's exactly what it's about. So before I let you go, I wanted to always kind of breeze through a little bit of the events and things that are going on here in the FSHD Society. Obviously, you can see those weekly webinar series with Bill and Mitch, so they're there till the 22nd for you. We also have things that are going virtual as well. On the June 25th through the 26th, it's the 27th annual FSHD International Research Congress for research professionals. On June 27th, it's the FSHD Connect Classroom, education and networking for individuals and families living with FSHD, clinicians, and researchers. So that's all available there. And then the Voice of the Patient on June 29th. For individuals, caregivers have provided their testimony on the disease, how it's burdened them, and we present that to the FDA. That's hugely important to be a part of that as well, and those are virtual. We also have the World FSHD Day as on June 20th that we all know. We are putting together an event on that day. I believe in the morning I will be on air on the 20th. Sharing some good news and great stories and interviews with a lot of our chapter directors, it sounds like. That's going to be the direction of that show, so that's going to be a special event. So I hope you're not tired of seeing my face on Facebook Live. We'll be airing there. Might even use a little bit of Zoom on that, so if you want to call in and dial in, you might be able to access it that way. That's all in progress. Webinars, more coming up this month. One on the June 4th, which is tomorrow, Adapting Your Home for Safety, with Dr. Constantine Pharmakidis, University of Kansas Medical Center. And then on June 11th, the Stem Cell Research in FSHD. And that also has a PhD at University of Minnesota person, Rita Paralingario. I think I pronounced that correctly. We'll see. But either way, you look at that information on FSHDSociety.org. Man, names just can't be Smith. You know, make it easier for me. So those events are coming up for you. Let me go through everything else, make sure I didn't miss anything for you. Oh, yeah, how could I forget? Also, if we wander into July and September, July 11th, the San Diego Walk and Roll is going virtual, and we want to make it go viral. So get on your walk path and help support, even in San Diego from your neck of the woods, right? It's basically global. It's virtual, so you can be a part of it on July 11th. I'll be broadcasting a little bit on that day as well, helping to promote that event. And the Walk and Roll to Cure FSHD is the full nationwide event. It's happening September 12th. So mark your calendars for that. Those are big things. On the local end, June 14th is the Central Texas Chapter Meeting, 2 p.m. Central Time. And on June 14th as well is the Columbus Chapter Meeting. And once again, don't forget World FSHD on the day on the 20th. So much going on. I had to try to keep it all straight for you. I hope I did that. Next month, on the main guest, we're going to still come at you weekly. I should have another show next week. It'll be all about you show that week. And what we'll end up doing is we'll try to bring you shows each week. I'm in the works of trying to work on some like featured things that we can do. You know, one week we can have a featured guest such as we had tonight. Maybe like another week we can have a little bit of mindfulness helping the mental side of this disease. And perhaps, maybe, we can arrange having Bill or Mitch on each, you know, show a month talking about the physical side. So we're in the works on trying to have a nice, established, consistent weekly series show going for you with reoccurring guests, special guests, and shows that are just about you, the listener or viewer on Facebook Live. For the July 1st main show is going to be Molly White is the featured guest from Dyne Therapeutics, Vice President, Medical Communications and Advocacy. I talked to her and asked her to be on the show. And then when Dyne hit the news as they ramp up their FSHD program, what perfect timing to have her on July 1st. That's all I have for tonight. I wish you the best throughout the week. We'll touch base next week and chat again then. So long for now. You've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.